Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoff Nation podcast show. Oh. Knockoff Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knockoff Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT Holton.
Hi, Ken. Did you know I went to a premature Ejaculators Anonymous meeting this week?
And you did?
Yeah, they don't have any dress code at all. You can come. Huh. Yeah, you can come in your jeans.
Oh, wow. That's terrible. Josh is my other co-host over here that's not quite as terrible, I hope. How are you, Josh?
I'm fantastic, you guys. I'm having a great day. Just a great, great life. Mm-hmm. Had a great weekend. Living my best life, guys. Glad to be here.
So, Josh has turned in his two-week notice to us today. He is leaving the Knockoff Nation and is going to be joining the Mansplain Baseball podcast.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes. They give me artistic freedom that I've never had before. Mm-hmm. And they let me say whatever I want. I got to go off on everything without anybody interrupting me or censoring me.
So Josh was set to go to that meeting this week too, JT. Yeah. He just went off on everything.
So, and they're nice to me there. Marla is an angel from heaven. She's super nice. Emily is I'm a little scared of her, to be honest with you. So I don't want to publicly say anything about her, because honestly she might.
You don't want to lose your new job, right?
Yeah.
Right,
so, gotcha. And Ashland is just basically an idiot. Like she's just, and I mean that affectionately. She's just a goober. And she's actually a rich yuppie.
Ah. Yeah, so she's Josh Brown with a vagina.
I didn't want to say that. She's also married to, like, the greatest person in the world.
Josh Brown with a vagina. There you go.
But, yeah, I'm just excited to be joining their podcast and go someplace where I'm appreciated and allowed to do what I want.
Well, JT, there's only one thing to say to this. You know what that is? Happy trails to you.
I was going to do the na 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 hey hey goodbye song.
Okay, that works too.
We could do that one. But Josh, yeah. Of course they let you say what you want. That they're jotting it down so they can have material for the next 6 weeks.
That's honestly a little insensitive of you to say. I feel like you didn't. That was just a low blow, and they've got a lot of material.
I know. I'm just
They're material girls in a material world.
Yes. I know. I'm just goofing. I'm new boot goofing.
Even though Ashland can't make a sandwich,
which is weird that a woman can't make a sandwich.
Josh, did you mansplain at least a little bit while you were on that show? God, please tell me you did. At least a little bit.
You'll have to listen.
I'm just telling you up front, I won't. I'm not going to listen to the podcast. Well, no offense to them. I don't listen to the podcast. So
I went into it thinking I was going to talk about things like, I don't know, baseball, bourbon, beer. I don't know.
Butts.
Lots of butts. But then I ended up talking about, Civil War history. Nathan Bedford Forrest.
Oh, good God.
The founder of the KKK?
He's not the founder of the KKK. That's funny you said that. I actually expose that and talk about it, so you should listen and maybe learn something for once in your life.
Oh, dear God. You're such an idiot. So.
Really. Okay, I did hear someone this week call all the people who are demanding everyone to stay inside and social distance the Flu Klux Klan, and it made me laugh out loud.
That's pretty funny. That's
pretty good. Instead of white sheets, they wear a white mask over their face all the time. Oh, it's terrible. That's really terrible. Anyway, guys, there was actually some sporting news this week. NFL draft took place last well, it started on Thursday and continued through the weekend. And you know, to be honest, fellas, it was kind of nice to actually have something sports-related that I mildly cared about. I really didn't care about it, let's be honest. Most of these people, I'm not going to remember their names for more than a month. But I still, like, kind of got into it for 3 days. And, yeah, what did you guys think about the draft in general? Not necessarily the details of players and all that stuff, but, like, what did you think of the draft?
I'll go first. Just cause I know JT watched the – like maybe almost the whole thing and has a lot more to say, a lot more intelligent things about it than I do. But I've never watched it before, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've watched football my entire life. You guys know I'm not a fantasy nerd like you guys are, but I love football. I love NFL. I watch NFL, but I've never watched the draft before. But I was like in the couch watching the pre-stuff, man, like 5 o'clock or whatever. Was it Wednesday or Thursday last mm-hmm. week?
Thursday. Yeah.
I'm watching all the pre-show stuff, you know, the feel-good stories and stuff like that. And I watched the first round for the first time ever, which is, like, for me, that was a big deal. I didn't watch, you know, throughout the weekend or anything. I kept up with it from you guys. But, yeah, it was cool. I don't know. I don't know 90% of the guys that were drafted, but, you know, it was fun. It was cool.
Cool. Yeah, I thought the intro took for God's sake and ever. Like, why did we need 14 songs sang by people from their couch? That was weird, you know? Like, when you do a live intro, it feels more like everybody's there. It feels bang bang because they're, like, just swapping out on stage. This felt, like, really awkward at times with, like, Harry Connick Jr. singing a very off-key version of the Star Spangled Banner and... Who was the other one? I can't remember. There was somebody else saying.
Was it written by Francis Scott Off-Key?
I think it was. And I love Harry Connick Jr. I'm like, how is he so bad? And I think it's just his home recording stuff's not very good.
He's recording it on an iPhone. I think that's the problem.
Seriously. That's the way it seemed. And but yeah, it was a little... you know, it's like one of those things, like, I know you're a national organization and you have to talk about coronavirus relief and all this kind of stuff and our frontline workers, but it felt like super forced. Like, they did that for 20 minutes before the show started, and it's like, okay, look, all you had to do was do like a 3-minute tribute to the troops and the frontline workers and we would have been all right. Right. You know, like, we got the point. You didn't have to belabor it, you know.
Yeah, but they're also the first major sporting event since then, so you have to acknowledge it in some way, you know, and do a lot to acknowledge the people on the front line and those kind of things. And they did a good job of that. But they've always done a good job of community outreach with the NFL, you know, doing things supporting United Way. And even when they have the normal draft, they'll have, you know, people, you know, from different charities and stuff get to come up and present picks and things like that. So they've always done a good job of those kind of things. And I felt the music was a little hokey. Like,
yeah.
Hey, we're gonna have Kelly Clarkson sing you a song right quick. Like, why do I want this?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I thought that Roger Goodell. We've talked about him before, and I like how Kenny talks about him because compared to Rob Manfred, he's probably like a saint and a genius. You know, he's actually not trying to ruin his respective sport, but he's just like a goober to me.
He is a goober.
Oh, he's a dork.
You know what I mean? And like. Okay, even though Tua Tagovailoa, that last name is hard to pronounce, at this point, if you're the commissioner of the NFL, you should know how to pronounce
that
name.
Shouldn't you know it? Yeah.
You should.
Like, you should maybe know how to pronounce it.
He's not new on the scene. Like,
he's reading his name like it was the first time he'd ever seen it. Like, his face looked like he'd never heard that name before. He was like,
and then later... What's crazy is, like, 1 minute he can't say Tua, and then the next he's like, Ingrid Dale Shalaka Sukabler, and he, like, nails it. You know, like, some name no one's ever heard of, and Goodell, like, nails that name, and I'm like, wait, what?
Yes.
What?
He nailed Noah in Benogany, but couldn't get Tua.
Which makes you wonder, like, what if my theory is incorrect, and maybe he's not an idiot in that regard, and maybe he's trolling. Maybe he hates Alabama. Maybe he's an Auburn fan, and he meant to.
Could be.
Flip.
He is the anti-Manfred in that he will stop at nothing to promote the goodwill of the NFL. If that means like pretending they don't know as much as they know about concussions, or it's all about the shield.
And some of that is the job. You know, like, that's not necessarily his personality. That's literally the job.
Yeah, he works for the owners. His job is to make sure the owners make more money than they did under the prior guy.
That was like, I heard somebody this week talking about that they were hoping that baseball players, maybe if they end up striking in a year or two, that it costs Manfred his job. And I'm like, you people do realize Manfred's made the owners more money than any commissioner in the history of baseball. The only way Manfred is getting fired is if he has some sort of major personal indiscretion that, like, he's with a little kid, or he says a racial slur, or, you know, I mean, like, that's the only way that Manfred's losing his job. It's not happening any other way.
Yeah, you take the job like MLB commissioner, as in, this is going to be my last job I ever have.
Exactly.
Like, this is a job that, like, George W. Bush would get after being president. This is like a cushy way to still make a lot of money and not work that hard. You know what I mean? Like, that's just kind of, you know, what it is. I mean,
and even be a terrible person and look like a good person. But, you know, with Goodell, he does come across as a slightly drunken dad. Like a dad. Like Jeff Donahue dad. Like wearing some white. Like, I fully expect that Roger Goodell, at the bottom of his suit that you couldn't see on TV, was wearing some white New Balances while he was calling off draft names.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it feels.
Yeah.
Like he's kind of a goober. Like, Josh, you said he was a goober, but it's like it's like dad joke goober. You know, like, that's the way he comes across. That's the whole persona.
He seems like just uptight, but not. I don't know. I would rather hang out with him than Manfred, which we talked about before on the podcast.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Oh, he's definitely a dork. He's definitely uptight. Like, you can tell he's in his basement and he's wearing khakis and like, you know, a pullover, which no one goes home to their basement and is like, all right, got to pull my khakis. Donahue excluded. And then, like, he's got this big screen behind him. And before each pick, it's like a Zoom meeting of all these different fans of whatever team is about to pick. And he's standing there, he's like, so it'll be like the Bills picking. Come on, Bills fans, let's go. And he's like,
Yeah. He's like a dad.
So corny, just stop it.
Yeah. I bet you when Roger Goodell walks into his house, the draft theme music starts playing, and it's like a Mr. Rogers scene. He's like taking off his suit and tie, and he's pulling on his khakis and his pullover, and he's putting on his his New Balance white shoes that he's lacing up just like Mr. Rogers, and then he goes traipsing down to the basement.
Traipsing. He does traipse.
With pick number one in the draft, and he takes off.
Yeah.
I imagine that's him. I will say this, though. Like, I do think he did a good job of playing up everybody out there boomy. It was awkward. It was corny. It was perfect. It was like, I thought it was well done. And I felt like this draft was the most family-friendly draft that they've had in a lot of ways. Like, sometimes when they're drafted and stuff, I'm a little on cringe. Like, I don't know if my kids should be watching right now or not, because I don't know what that fan in the front row is about to scream into the microphone when he's mad that his team drafted a outside linebacker instead of a quarterback, you know, or whatever.
From a fan's perspective, the draft, the traditional way, now that they're doing it like an outdoor street party, is way cool. Mm-hmm. Like, we planned on going this year because it was in Vegas. A buddy of mine is a huge Raiders fan, and, you know, so we wanted to go to Vegas and do, like, the street party thing. And because it's, like, free to attend. You don't have to buy a ticket or anything. Nashville last year, I mean, it was huge. It was, like, a million people out in the street. But I really loved the way, from a TV standpoint, I loved the way they did it this year, like, getting to see the reactions of the people at home. Like, even my wife, she couldn't care less. She just wanted to know where Jake was getting drafted. But being able to watch kids, like, hug their parents and stuff and see the different coaches' houses and everything and see – that was cool. Getting to see some
people
at
cool.
home, you know? That was neat.
Speaking of speaking of coaches' houses, there was a few wonderful moments. First of all, the one that's got to be talked about first was Mike Vrabel. Yes. Did you absorb the fullness of Mike Vrabel's house? Because
it looked there, is that the Cardinals guy with the
no
on the couch?
Vrabel's the one with the weird kids behind him, and then the one kid pooping.
He's
on
got
the
a
toilet.
Guy dressed up like. Yeah, there's a kid pooping on the toilet in the reflection.
Oh,
the
I
mirror.
Saw that picture. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's a kid in like a the freeze onesie type like windsuit thing, you know, that like stretches to your body. And then the other one's wearing like Mike Vrabel's New England jersey or something from his rookie season. And then there's a girl just sitting on the counter with her legs crossed, like you can't even tell she's wearing any pants. It's really weird. And It was 100% Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, Vrabel's a different dude. He's a linebacker. They're all weird. I mean, they bash their heads around forever. He usually has, like, the best mustache in the world. I don't know why he's shaved that thing. I hope it comes back. But Josh, you're thinking of Cliff Kingsbury, Arizona's coach, yes. Who has the panty dropper mansion out there. Kingsbury,
good
is
God,
a, he's a handsome
looks,
devil
it looks
of a man.
Fake. It looked like a fake... like utopia weird.
He had a perfect mansion.
It looked
with
weird.
A, like,
it looked weird.
He had a football field sitting outside the big giant back window where he could just
that
walk
was...
outside and draw up plays. You know, like what?
It looked futuristic and weird. I don't know.
And I would live there in a
like
heartbeat.
No one lived there. I don't know.
No, Kingsbury is about... a dude. He's a good looking dude. He's a single man. He's living the life out in Arizona. God bless him.
What about the Giants GM sitting upstairs, and apparently he's had lymphoma at some point, so I kind of get being extra safe, but he's in his home alone, and he's wearing an N95 mask in his home alone.
No one's around you. I don't know. Maybe it's more of a public statement. Weird. Maybe it's more of a, you know.
Maybe.
I like that. I like Jerry Jones on the yacht.
Oh, God, yes. What?
Good Lord. I mean,
that was the most Jerry Jones moment ever. Like, that is 100% Jerry Jones.
With the
completely disconnected from all reality.
And hot blonde chicks coming over, and they're like thumbing through his little binder for him, you know, and just like, who is this, you know?
And he apparently told his scouting staff not to call him during the draft. Like, this was reported news that Jerry told his scouting staff not to get in touch with him during the first round.
Jerry, they're the scouts. You need their advice on. Okay.
I guess Jerry was convinced he knew what he wanted to do, man. I guess.
Well.
The other great moment is Andy Reid wearing a different Tommy Bahama shirt just about every time they zoomed in on him.
Andy Reid is everybody's dad. You know, he's just like.
He's the actual dad. Yeah. Like, Roger Goodell is like annoying dad. Andy Reid's like actual. Lazy, I'm only half paying attention, Dad. You know, that guy. Me.
I like it. I like his style. Yeah. It's fun. And I did like Bill Belichick half the time not even being there, and then at one part it was his dog sitting in the chair.
Oh, it's 100%.
And he's just
Belichick
in the kitchen. He's just a kitchen table. Everybody else has these lavish mansions and stuff. Like really cool high-rise condos, and Belichick's just at the kitchen table. Like,
and let's be honest, like his kitchen table, it looks like a kitchen table from like mom and pop's three room.
Oh man,
house,
I wish I saw this.
Three bedroom, two bath house.
Yeah, it looks
with
like
just a plain old kitchen.
Like he's your
and
neighbor.
Just a little small kitchen table. Yes,
it looks like
I
our
can
kitchens.
Seriously, walk in my neighbor's house.
Yeah, it looks like our kitchens. Which is exactly what I would expect Bill Belichick to have. Like,
100%.
Like, hey, do you have a mansion? 100%. No. Like, you know, he just. Doesn't care about those guys.
It's like the hoodie of how. It's like a cutoff hoodie of houses.
It's all about function. That's it. It's all about function, not about looks or anything.
Yeah, yeah. I bet Belichick is just watering. His mouth is watering with some of the draft selections that he got because he picked some odd off the wall picks along the way. Who was the one that was such an interesting character that was a reach, JT? Do you remember it right off? It was first or second round. He picked a guy out of – dadgummit.
Off the top of my head, I don't remember. I know he drafted a kicker who apparently has a white supremacist tattoo that pissed Jamel Hill off or something. I don't know. Saw her bitching about that on Twitter.
Yeah, the dude said it was an accident.
So the kicker
has all these tattoos. One says, like, Liberty or Death here. He's got an American flag. Then apparently has a three percenters tattoo, which he thought was a just pro-military. Apparently they're like a militia group. And so Jamele Hill just went all over that he's a racist.
Three percenters? Blah, blah.
No idea.
Yeah, and the kid said he thought it was a patriotic tattoo when he was a teenager. So he got it, and then he found out later what it actually meant and that he's having it covered up. Like, he said that.
I kind of want to give him the benefit of the doubt, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I thought it was legit. Well, I mean, what the dude said sounded legit.
I hadn't seen anything.
Also, I love that Jamele Hill is...
It's just the 3% tattoo. It's not like, I mean...
I've never heard of that before.
You got to jump out here and say that someone you've never met, you know, is a racist for blah, 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 blah. I'm like, dude, that girl has gone so far off the deep end.
Oh, God. She's this just is, a walking meme now.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Yeah. I mean, who cares? Like, who cares? It's just one of those things where it's like, you know how whenever somebody will be somebody's birthday, some athlete, and then somebody will tweet, oh, really? Well, here's five bad things that person has done in their life. Like, there's always that kind of person on Twitter, and she's that person now, where it's like, oh, you guys are celebrating so-and-so? Well, here's 10 reasons they're a bad person. It's like, why do you have to be that way? You know, who cares about a fifth-round kicker the Patriots drafted? Like,
right?
Who cares? No one even knows his name.
The guy I was talking about that Belichick drafted JT was the guy from Lenoir Ryan.
Oh, Kyle Duggar, yeah.
Yes, and how cool is it, first of all, to have survived 18 kids and counting and get drafted by the New England Patriots? But in all seriousness, like, how good do you have to be to get drafted in the first round from Lenoir Ryan?
Right? I mean, that's weird that you end up at Lenoir Ryan anyway. And I thought it was cool because they mentioned their head coach, who's now at Mercer, which was neat that they said Mercer University on ESPN. And then when they were showing Jake Fromm's house, his brother Dylan was wearing his Mercer shirt because Dylan Fromm is a quarterback at Mercer. So I was like, two shout-outs for Mercer University on the NFL draft. That's never happened before.
Yeah.
Jeremy Timmerman's alma mater. Duggar is a dude that, like, who was it that was talking about him? It was, I think it was Trey Wingo.
Okay.
Everybody had to name a guy, like, a sleeper pick. And he was saying, like, look out for this guy. And I had heard Mel Kiper talking about him because I listened to the first draft podcast that he and Todd McShay do. And it was like, yeah, it's Duggar kid. And I'm just thinking, like, okay, whatever. Like, you've got to name somebody, so you name some kid from the smallest school possible. But then you see the guy, and, like, you look at his film, and I'm like, this guy is a stud. Like, this guy is huge. He's fast. I figure Lenoir Ryan, I could at least play backup at Lenoir Ryan. You know, like, I could be like a third string fullback at Lenoir Ryan. You know, like, it can't be that hard. This guy is like, how do you even end up there? You know, like, what happens?
Yeah.
That's what's weird about sports is sometimes you'll see this where, like, you see a guy from some, and baseball is full of it. You'll see guys and they get drafted. Watch the MLB draft. And you'll see guys from Cal State Fullerton. You'll see guys from Miami. And then you'll see a guy from, like, Indiana Wesleyan Community College. And you're like, how? It's just weird how people just are late bloomers or what. But it's kind of crazy, you know, to be able to play at a place like that and get noticed by the NFL. It's wild. That's weird.
Yeah, it's wild.
Want to support the nation's leading replacement-level podcast? Put your money where your mouth is, fellow degenerates. And visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For only $5 a month, you'll get access to behind-the-scenes episodes and patron-exclusive podcasts. And you'll be supporting your favorite knuckleheads. Visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation.
So let me ask you guys this. And that is, you know, we talked about the different coaches dressing in different ways. If you are an NFL head coach getting paid what NFL head coaches are getting paid, how are you dressing?
Like in private at home or just on the sidelines or what?
For the draft. Like, they're putting a camera in your location. You can tell me your location. and you're being drafted.
If I'm at home, just because my mother would be watching, I'm wearing slacks and a button down and probably a jacket. No tie. But at least, okay. You know, only because if I was in a t-shirt and shorts, I'd hear from my mom. And I wanted to deal with that. You're on national TV, dressed like Jimmy Buffett. All right, put on a collared shirt, that kind of stuff. You know, kind of dressed like I'm going to church. Big church, yeah, not contemporary yeah. service church where you can wear jeans and flip-flops, but like church, Easter Sunday church. But I'd probably keep the tie off because I'm at home.
Gotcha.
Oh my God.
Okay. Wow, Josh. Splunking over here.
Josh just returned with a splunking light strapped to his head. Josh, we were just asking if...
saw a bear.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Scared the shit out of me. Holy fuck. You know how you guys have both been here. When you walk out of my living room to my office, you have to go outside. I had my headlamp on, and I look over, and there's a bear. Like, right there. And then it ran away in the woods. There's, like, a bear right there.
Josh, I mean, look, I thought Boone was kind of forward-thinking. Why didn't you just invite him in for dinner? Like, I mean, just because he's a bear, like, because, you don't have to be sexist.
Right?
Like,
I only...
If he's an otter, would you have been more interested?
Do we need to get...
Yeah,
I think I think we should get Daniel Murphy to come and hang out with Josh and share with... Him and Billy's share with Josh some ways to be more friendly with gay people. Just saying. Jeez, Josh. Josh, I was just asking JT, though, if you had the money of an NFL coach, right, and you were having to draft on national television, are you listening, Josh?
Yeah, I'm looking at that tattoo you sent me. If I'm 15 or 16 years old, I don't know what that means.
I don't either. I would have thought it was, like, patriotic.
Yeah.
But listen, if you're an NFL coach getting paid NFL money and you get to draft on national TV, first of all, where are you doing it from? And secondly, what are you wearing?
I'm doing it from... I mean, maybe right here in my office. It's cool, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, you can have more money. You can live wherever you want. I'm just saying. Like,
Yeah, true. I would. You guys know me. If I had that kind of money, I would live in a double wide with really nice wood panel walls. No, I would.
Like gold plated. Like, I think if Josh had a lot that kind of money. Josh would own, like, the world's largest hunting lodge, and it would be up on top of the mountain, probably on top of Grandfather Mountain, because he would just buy the whole place and then just teleport the hunting lodge to the top somehow, and you would be sitting on your back deck overlooking that grand view, and you'd probably be peeing off your back porch while drafting. Like, I can imagine that. I can see you acting like a redneck but living like a yuppie.
I don't know. I like to think that I would have, like, a really nice double wide on Weiss Lake.
Isn't that what a hipster is, though? Like, you act like a redneck, but you live like a yuppie. Like, I've got money, but I'm going to pretend I'm poor.
Right.
Yes.
You're right.
Essentially.
Ironically, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, so you're, like, the exact opposite of Eric Church, then.
Yes.
Eric Church has a lot of money, and he acts like he has a lot of money.
Yes.
So he's not really a yuppie like you've called him.
Wait, a yuppie isn't someone that has a lot of money that acts like they have a lot of money?
A yuppie would be like Patrick Bateman from American Psycho.
I don't know who that is. Never seen it.
Dude.
How have you never
seen
American Psycho?
First off, you guys see movies. It's really awesome. It's like 20 years old now, but it's really good.
I've heard y'all reference it before, but I never know what's going on.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. I feel
he's like a real bud here. I mean, like, if you ever watch American Psycho, it's full on. I mean, like, you know, he's your bud. That's what he is.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, he is all about the cocaine.
So
it's very 1980s, you know, but he's very Wall Street.
Yeah.
Brooks Brothers ties, you know, fancy pants, everything.
Fancy pants?
Yeah, everything's fancy. Do you have those friends you went to school with and they got like jobs in like finance and like worked on Wall Street and everything? Like they
suck.
Got yeah, two of them. Or you read GQ and like you're thumbing through and they're talking about these $500 shoes and you're like, who buys $500 loafers? Like,
yeah,
these kind of people
do. I've got $500 Allen Edmonds shoes.
Yes, exactly.
If you combined all my shoes together, they'd be worth $500.
But hold up. Got them at Goodwill. Goodwill Hickory. True story for $3.
Yep. And didn't resell them. That's the definition part of a yuppie. Like me, buy the only shoes that I buy I spend more than $50 on. The only shoes that I buy that spend more than $50 on are my boots. And that's because I wear them for 2 years at a time. So my Chippewas I invest in. But like the rest of it, no.
Yeah, I've got Chippewa boots as well.
But you don't actually work in your Chippewa boots. That's what's insane.
I've got Ariats. Yeah. I don't know what Chippewas are.
I've got Ariats too.
Those are my most expensive. Allen Edmonds, the Ariats.
So my let me tell you something. I bought these. I think I sent y'all a picture. These are legit $500 Allen Edmonds shoes. They fit me like a glove. I bought them at Goodwill. At the Goodwill down in, not Hickory, Lenoir, North Carolina. Okay. And... okay, you're right, Kenny. When I did keep them. I kept them and wore them. But then after a few months or whatever, I did try to sell them on eBay. I put them on eBay, I think for like $200 or $250. And compared to all the other used ones in its class, it was on the low end of the scale. All right. Some douchebag bought them, and I guess I don't eBay very well. I suck at eBay, guys. I've sold like 3 things on eBay, but I bought like a zillion things on eBay. I don't know eBay. I'm sorry. So I tried to sell them on eBay. I didn't have like the return thing, like the no return thing or whatever. And so like this douchebag buys them in California. I sent him to California. This asshole complains about there being dog hair in them, a little dog. And I cleaned them. I'm like, yeah, I live with dogs.
And he sent them back?
He sent them back, and I was like, and then he tried to negotiate after he had already, like,
oh, yeah, he was just trying to rip you off, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, screw you, send them back. And I've still got them. I never tried to resell them. I'm like, you know what, it's meant to be for me to keep these shoes forever. Because you can keep them forever, those Allen Edmonds shoes. They're very nice.
Ah, forever.
Mm-hmm.
Forever and ever.
Forever. I
will say this.
These are my fanciest shoes. Are these I'm wearing right now? They're nice Crocs. They're camo Crocs. They were $30. Got them for Christmas.
Nice. I hear the baby in the back. How's Bo doing?
That son of a bitch. I told him I was recording and to be quiet. He thinks just because he's 20 days
They're
old,
so needy.
He can
They're
do
so
what
needy.
He wants around here. He hasn't even tried to get to know me at all. Hardly talks to me. He's just the worst.
What's your return policy on him?
I think we got 30 days. So it's coming up close. We got to make a decision.
Yeah. Well.
Nice.
I think we can return him on eBay.
Hey, Josh, since you watched the draft, what do you actually remember from the draft other than the intro? I'm just curious.
Okay. Tua.
Okay, where did he go?
The Miami Dolphins.
Hey, you do remember. That's good. What do we think of that before? And then we'll ask you another one, Josh. Like, we're going to let the blind lead the blind here. JT, what do you think of Tua going to the Dolphins?
I am not sold on Tua as a pro quarterback. I don't think he's going to be that good.
Wow. Wow.
I think he's got a long delivery. I think he's left-handed. I know he's left-handed. I think there's a huge language barrier coming from Hawaii to the pros. and that's a lot of bad decisions, too.
That guy on our Facebook page thought we were serious.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so much fun.
And then he has made a lot. If go back and watch some of the games, he's forced the ball a lot, where he's made some decisions where you're like, what were you even looking at? He's made a lot of good throws, too, but, of course, he was also surrounded
by better?
A ton of talent.
Is he better than Jake Fromm?
As far as just raw, like, physical talent? Yeah.
Just yes or no question?
Yeah, like, yeah. Okay. As far as athletically, yeah, sure. Of course. Okay. I think Jake might be better in decision-making and be able to technically do things on the field better. But as far as physical gifts, no, definitely Tua.
Okay.
But I also see Tua throw the ball, and I see a lot of Tim Tebow in his delivery.
I don't know what do I know?
I'm just saying I don't see the Dan Marino quick release. I see a very slow delivery. I see a guy who's already injury prone.
His only negative to me, and I'm not as schooled
here we go
in the art of football as you are, his only negative to me is it seemed like he would hold onto the ball a little too long. There was a lot of times where he could have avoided an injury had he just thrown it away or gotten rid of it.
Right.
Other than that, perfect, basically.
At the NCAA level, he held on to the ball too long. Now subtract a second and a half for the NFL level.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Imagine how long he's held on to the ball. You know, that's the – and I think Tua's going to be fine. So I'm just saying, like, I get JT's point. Yeah. Like, the other concern I have with Tua is I think he's small. Like, and when I say small, obviously, like, Kyler Murray is tiny, and it's not like an automatic you suck because you're small. Mm. But Tua is only 6'1", but he even measured out at 6 foot at the combine. He didn't measure 6'1 at the combine. Like, Kyler Murray is like 5'9", something like that. So I'm not saying he's quite as short as Kyler, but he's not a physically big man. Like, when you look at him, I don't think of him this way anyway. He's a much – like, he's muscled. There's no doubt about that. But he's not – I don't look at him and think Ben Roethlisberger, sturdy, strong. I don't even think Philip Rivers build. Yeah. You know, like, strong, big quarterback. He's a lot closer to Drew Brees than he is, you know, those other guys. And I don't say that as a positive. Like, Drew Brees – is a unicorn that he's like 6 foot and can throw the ball 300 yards. You know, like that's a unicorn. And maybe Tua is a unicorn, but usually that's not a good thing for you to be smaller, on the smaller side. Especially not when you have 6 foot six linemen. Yeah.
I also think that the talent around him at the receiver position is going to take a step back. That's weird to say, going from Alabama to Miami. And I only say that because he played with Judy and Ruggs, first-round picks. Okay. Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, probably first-round picks next year. Those were his top four receivers. Who were the first-round draft picks at receiver playing in Miami? You know, who's he throwing to? There's going to be – now, man for man, an NFL team is better off than a college team. But as far as game-breaking ability, he's not going to have the same – advantage that he's going to have over the defense that he's playing in the NFL that he did at Alabama. You know,
I do think Miami picked up some good weapons.
They did.
Especially in the line side of things to help, and maybe not this year, but in the coming years, I think some of those assets are going to be really
they
good.
Did. But Alabama and Tua would feast on playing if they played Mississippi State, for instance, or in Arkansas. Tua could easily go 5-6 touchdowns, you know, and they would just feast on them. They're not going to be able to do that in the NFL. And now it's going to become more of, okay, can you do the things mechanically that you need to do? Can you go through your progressions that you don't really have to do? Because at Alabama, your first receiver probably going to be open. And if not him, the second one is.
Right.
So it's going to get a lot harder. I remember as a Jaguars fan – loving Byron Leftwich as a draft pick because Byron Leftwich could throw it out of the stadium. Byron Leftwich also dropped the ball back to his hip when he threw.
Yeah.
When the ball finally got out, it could fly a mile. And Byron Leftwich knows a ton about quarterbacking. I think he's the offensive coordinator at Tampa, I believe. So imagine Byron Leftwich coaching Tom Brady on the quarterback position. That's weird.
I like the name Byron.
Yeah,
it's Burn. Hey, Burn.
But
Burn.
By the time he got the ball up to throw, it was too late. It was just too slow. But that's a guy that Tua kind of reminds me of, although Byron's a lot bigger and right-handed, but similar delivery styles.
And again, I think Tua's going to be okay. I do think it's going to be they're going to have to give him some time to develop. I don't think it's going to be like, wow, the Miami Dolphins are suddenly great because they got Tua. You know, like, I don't know.
It's going to take time. Anyway. I don't think he's going to be an immediate impact. I mean, I think the Dolphins had a good draft, but there was still such a lack of talent there. And my Lord, if anyone needs a uniform change, go back to the way things were. It's the Miami Dolphins.
Those new ones
are just hideous.
Josh, what else do you remember from the draft?
I love how you talk to me like I'm a drunk 7-year-old. Like,
well, you are when it comes to the NFL.
Like you have Alzheimer's. What do you remember?
What else do you remember, Josh?
Josh, we literally did an entire segment on this show.
The Alamo.
Built around the we did an entire segment on this show built around the concept that you don't know what's going on in the sport that the show's built around in baseball. So,
all right, that's a good point. I remember Mr. Joe Burrows. He went to the Bengals of Cincinnati.
Is it Bengals or Bengals?
People from there say Bengals, especially if you're on the Kentucky side.
That's really weird.
If you're in the Louisville area, you know the Bengals are usually your team, but they'll say Bengals.
I always feel like Bengals are like the things that girls used to wear.
Well,
I
think of like walk like an Egyptian
earrings. Yeah.
The Bengals.
Joe Burrow's going to do okay, and he's going to have a few weapons up there. They did all right. I thought Cleveland – Cleveland. Ooh, they would be mad at me about that.
I just feel bad for that guy. You know what I mean?
I thought Cincinnati had a good draft.
I feel bad for him.
Yeah, you get to be the number one pick in the draft, and, like, I know he loves his parents. But sitting at home with your mom and pa, it's kind of like, I'd rather be in Vegas and
– Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to be the number one pick in the draft – I would like to be able
to... Send me to Dallas, or send me to New York, or like L.A., or I mean, even like Oakland.
Cincinnati.
Like,
you don't have to eat Skyline Chili, you know?
Yeah.
I just feel bad for anybody that goes to Ohio.
He's going to get to go to Great American Ballpark and see the place where Joe Webster caught Ronald Acuna's first homer. I mean, that's pretty cool.
State Ohio is.
Wow. I don't think I've ever been there. Square. Have I been? I don't think I've ever been to Ohio.
Ohio sucks. Ohio.
I always think Ohio should be further west than it actually is.
It's one that's on the map.
I think I've talked about it on the podcast before. So, in all honesty, Cincinnati is actually kind of cool. It's kind of pretty. It's kind of on a bluff. It's on the river.
It just sucks eight months out of the year. Yeah.
It's not that bad. But the rest of Ohio, trash. Cleveland, trash. Wherever Braves Believe is. I don't know where she lives, but I'm sure it sucks. The tri-state area is kind of pretty, but trash. The Kentucky, Ohio, West Virginia area, Ironton, Ashland.
Wow.
And
Ashland is a
Huntington. Trashland. Yeah.
Wow. That's mean.
Wow.
Ashland,
wow.
Kentucky. That's home of Billy Ray Cyrus.
Billy
Ray Cyrus, and I think the Judds are from there. Really pretty little area of the country right there. Beautiful. Good people.
Digging out of that hole really fast.
But the rest of the state, the worst. The roads are really, really, really bad. Anybody from Ohio will tell you that. Ohio sucks so bad that people that are from there were like, I hate Ohio.
Wow. Drew Carey is very... very positive.
Cleveland rocks. That was
Drew Carey's from Ohio.
Cleveland.
I don't know.
He's from
the
Cleveland.
Entire theme song of Drew Carey show.
Cleveland rocks.
Which I believe was played by the Presidents of the United States of America.
Remembers the theme song of the Drew Carey show.
Cleveland rocks.
Y'all are so weird.
Cleveland rocks, man.
How is that
it's
weird?
Also where the Isn't that where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is at?
Yeah, it should be in Macon, Georgia, but it's not. It's in Cleveland.
Amen.
I'm just saying, like, it's there, though. Yeah.
That's a bunch of bullshit. You should nerd out and read about how it ended up being in Cleveland. It's a bunch of bullshit. Stupid. True story, yeah.
Wow.
Has okay, no business being in Cleveland.
So can we move on? Guys, year after year, the most impressive thing of the draft, this is the thing that I enjoy the most, is the one and only Mel Kiper. What are you doing, JD?
I don't know.
Is your tongue okay?
No, I'm just having a stroke.
Okay.
Is Mel Kiper the old guy with the weird hair?
Yeah, it looks
Mel
like
Kiper's
Dracula.
The old guy. That he's a televangelist from the 80s, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Full-on Jimmy Swagger.
I can't tell if it's a vampire or a televangelist, but it's like a mix of the two.
Yeah. And but is there has there ever been a person that I'm trying the English language.
Now, Kenny's
is
having a stroke.
I'm having a stroke. That found their calling more perfectly than Mel Kiper.
Yeah, So I listened to a podcast interview with him, and he basically said that this was his goal. Like, when he was like a senior in high school, back then, the only way, there wasn't free agency, and there weren't very many trades. So really the only way a team could improve themselves was through the draft. And he was a big football fan. He's from Baltimore. He was a big Colts fan growing up. And he was like, but they don't have a guy who's like a draft guru. And so like, this wasn't something he fell into. This was like an idea he had like as a high school senior. And so like, it was kind of crazy because like he went to school like for broadcasting and all this with the idea of being who he is today. Like,
yeah.
And so he started like writing books and papers, and it just kind of snowballed from there, and being like watching anything he could, all the film on all the prospects, and basically writing kind of like a Bill James kind of thing where he'd make his own books and like sell them out of the trunk of his car. And so, yeah, it was kind of crazy because, and that's all he does. I mean, he is the NFL draft guru. So,
yeah. And missing out on Todd McShay this year, who was apparently fighting the COVID. But Todd's also, I mean, right up there with Mel. As like, you can be in the seventh round of the draft and somebody drafts someone from no name college in the middle of Texas. And Mel's like, yeah, let me tell you about this guy. And he just like lays out his entire college history. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah. His podcast is something because they'll bring stuff up like that. And it's like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's done some prep beforehand, but it sure seems like he's just ready to go with whoever. Like, you just drop a name, and he'll be able to tell you, like,
yeah,
you know, blah, blah, blah.
And he knows his stuff. Like, it's not BS. Like, it's accurate, you know.
Right.
Now, you might disagree with some of his analysis from time to time, but it's not like he's telling you about a guard when he's talking about a wide receiver or something. You know, like, he's pretty much on 100%, you know. And who was the new guy that they added this year? The black guy that was breaking down stuff, because I thought he did a really nice job.
Is that Lewis Riddick they had on?
Lewis, yes,
yeah, he's
yes,
real
Lewis
good.
Riddick,
Lewis
yeah.
Riddick will be a GM somewhere. He'll go the Mayock route and be a GM somewhere. He's just too damn smart. He's really, really sharp. It's funny too because, like, they're just here analyzing prospects on their own, like in a vacuum. It has nothing to do with what a specific team may like. You know, like a certain team, like you might be a tight end that does this and you weigh this much, you can run this much 40, but a team may say, hey, we don't draft tight ends that are under 6'5". We
right,
like them
yeah.
a bit taller than smaller. And so it doesn't matter. And so sometimes people wonder, like, well, why did Jake Fromm, you know, drop to the fifth round? Well, sometimes, like, you only have so many spots. And a team may say, hey, we're looking for a guy that has this, 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 and this. And if you don't check all boxes, they're not going to draft you because.
So let's, yeah. And going off of that, JT, let's talk about the three weird picks. First of all, there was the Oregon quarterback. What's his name again?
Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert. He was selected by the not San Diego Chargers.
I am going to call them the San Diego Chargers until the day I die. I can't stop.
I'm sure I will.
They
Thank
should
you.
Stay in San Diego. The San Diego Superchargers is that's the way it should be.
Or they should move out of the state of California. One of the two. If you're going to move your team, don't move it within 100 miles of your current
location.
I'm
not going to acknowledge the LA Chargers until they just move back to San Diego.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Oakland Raiders becoming the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm going to call them Oakland forever. I just am. It's what I'm going to do. So, how do you feel about that situation for Herbert. I know a lot of people, David Pollock being one of them, is not a big fan.
Yeah, he crapped all over him. I don't know.
You called him the best quarterback in the draft.
I think so. Here's why. Because I think if you're out of Tua, Burrow, and Herbert, he's the only one who, to me, has less question marks. Tua, big question mark is delivery and injury. Burrow is, okay, we saw it for 1 year. And it was a historic year with Burrow. It was all-time great year, probably the best offense in college football history. But before Joe Brady got there, year before, he was just A-okay. He was decent.
Sure.
That's it. So take him back out of that system.
Question marks.
Yeah, where does he go? Herbert's a guy who's played in a lot of games. He won the Rose Bowl this year. He's a big guy, strong guy. It's not like, Oregon, okay, it's not the SEC, sure. But, I mean, you play your fair share of big-time games and against skilled opponents out there. And he gets to stay on the West Coast, which is good. I always think that's big, too, because you got to think about the real-life situations for these kids. He's about to become a 21-year-old millionaire. If he can stay close to family, that certainly helps with his development and just, kind of adjusting to life.
Yeah.
I think he's, to me, I think he's got the best future out of all, but again, I don't know anything. Anything could happen, but I like the pick.
Okay, cool. Next big shocker, the Green Bay Patriots. The Green Bay Packers take Jordan Love.
Yeah.
That's a starting quarterback that a team that has a starting quarterback took. That's not a backup quarterback. That's a starting quarterback coming out of Utah State. Is that right?
Am I Utah correct? State. It's the same thing that they did with Aaron Rodgers. Brett Favre was 36. They drafted Aaron Rodgers. And basically just sit, learn, develop, and then be ready to take over. Aaron Rodgers is now 36. And it's kind of
how weird is that?
Right?
How weird is it that Aaron Rodgers is 36? He's like 4 years younger than Tom Brady.
It's super weird that we've seen like that we'll see players in our adult years. We've lived throughout their entire careers. This is not like Joe Montana, who played when you were a little kid. You saw him retire. Like we've seen these guys in college become rookies. Go into the Hall of Fame. Like we've been there for the whole thing.
I remember when Roethlisberger was drafted, and now he's talking about being. He came out of Miami, Ohio.
Yeah.
I remember the draft.
2004,
I'd never even heard of him except for I watched a little bit of the bowl game that he was in, and they were like, this kid's going to be an NFL star. And then I remember seeing him drafted like six or seven.
Yeah.
Maybe it was higher than that. I don't remember. And I remember thinking, God, he's a big dude. And then, next thing you know, he's just taking over the league, and now he's talking about retiring. And I'm so old.
One of those guys that makes me feel old, really, like that, is Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it feels like he just started, but he's
Larry Fitzgerald. I remember when he came out.
I was a senior in high school, and he was at Pitt.
Oh, my God. He
was
so freaking good at Pitt.
And well, I can remember being 18 years old. And going to a Georgia game, and this was 2003. We were playing South Carolina, and they put in a freshman running back named Craig Lumpkin. Georgia fans will remember Craig Lumpkin.
I remember Craig Lumpkin.
Yeah, and I said, Dad, isn't that weird? Like, I'm his age. You know, because I grew up going to Georgia games, and it was the first time I'm like, I'm his age. That's weird. We're the same age. And now I'm going to Georgia games, and the freshmen were born the year I graduated high school.
Let me take it a step further.
Weird.
Michael Pittman Jr.
Right.
was picked in this draft, and I remember Mike Pittman and
Allstott
from the Bucks Super Bowl team running over everyone. Mike Allstott and Mike Pittman, man.
Now their kids are in the
NFL. I remember drafting him on my fantasy team.
It's so weird.
Mike Pittman.
It's like watching the Blue Jays last year, and I'm like, Bo Bichette's kid. Oh, Dante Bichette's kid, Bo. And oh, there's a little Biggio and Vlad Guerrero.
Oh,
and
look,
I'm like,
there's Vladdy Jr., yeah.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Weird.
I'm
like,
so old now.
Dude, we're going to blink. We'll probably still be doing this podcast. And like, oh, that's Chipper Jones' grandson playing. Oh, okay. Well, right. Well.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's just, you get old.
It's weird. But hey, shout out to Mel Kiper for being so freaking good at what he does. You know? Like, that's impressive. I'm impressed by people.
Oh, he's a total nerd. I mean.
I do got to ask you one more thing. Since – you're a Jags fan, and you know, well, I guess we need to address two things. First of all, how do you feel about Jake Fromm going to the Bills?
I like it. I think it's a good spot for him. It's not ideal, but I don't think Josh Allen has a total lock on that starting job. He can make some bad decisions. He's injury prone and he's erratic.
I would say the injury prone side is the bigger thing.
And
do you know that he rushed? Names.
True.
Do you know his rushing stats from last year?
He ran a lot, didn't he?
Yeah. He's right up there. People, you know, everyone's freaking out over Lamar Jackson. Josh Allen is 23, and last year he rushed for, I'm looking at it, I'm trying to look it up exactly now so that I don't tell you incorrectly. Let's see here. Adjusted pass rushing and receiving. Last year he rushed for 631 yards on only 89 rushes.
Wow.
That's pretty dang good. That's 7.1 yards per attempt. I gotta be honest. Like, I just think that's the more, I think Josh Allen, if he doesn't get hurt, is the future of the NFL in the same way that Lamar Jackson is. And that is a guy that can run the offense and pass. And the only thing he doesn't have yet is the weapons around him there in Buffalo, New York, to be the full-on success that he needs to be. And he also needs a little more seasoning on the decision-making side of
things. But how long can you run like that before
I don't know.
Before you get RG3'd? And...
Sure. He's 23, so he's got 3 or 4 years, I would say, before the speed really starts losing him. But I don't know, man. I don't know. So, to wrap it up, we need JT's take on the Falcons and on his beloved Jaguars. How did you feel like the draft went for all those Falcons fans out there? And maybe some Panthers fans if you have a take on
that. I hate the Terrell pick for the Falcons. I think he's soft. He got hit burned in the biggest games they played. I love Marlon Davidson in round two. Davidson's a beast. He's going to be good. For the Jags, I like C.J. Henderson. He's long. He's physical. He's more of a he's already said, give me your best receiver, I'll shut him down. That's what he said in his introductory interview. I'm like, that's the attitude you need. Calavon Chason, their second pick, has the best name in the draft. Calavon Chason. That's just interesting. Like it. Josh, shut the fuck up. And Laviska Shenault is the best receiver in the draft. I'm telling you, Laviska Shenault would have been a top 10 pick if he didn't get hurt last year. Watch out for him. Panthers are like the first team in a long time to have all their draft picks be defensive players. So Matt Rule,
he was genius.
Obviously,
that's what they need.
Knows what he likes, and he goes after it. So Derek Brown, animal, he's gonna be awesome.
Well, they don't need a running back.
No,
they got McCaffrey. I don't think they need wide receivers. I think their wide receivers have been fantastic. And if they do need to improve, they probably don't need to draft one. They probably need to, like, bring in.
And here's the thing: if the quarterback situation completely sucks and they end up 2-14 or 3-13, you got Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence at the top of the draft next year.
Yeah.
So,
exactly. And like last year, what was it? They have Will Greer started games for them last year.
Did he really?
Kyle Allen.
Kyle Allen did all right. He did real well. So
that, you know what that tells me? It is if Kyle Allen did quote real well, it means that their offensive line's pretty decent.
Yeah.
So for me, it made a ton of sense for them to go pretty much like exclusive defense. Let's get better and do something, you know. And I thought it was a really good draft for the Panthers myself. I thought it was a pretty good pick.
Gosh, all right. Someone talk about The Bachelor or something to get Josh interested in this. I don't know what to.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's the story of our lives. So on that note, thanks for listening.
We come into the show. We're talking about football because the NFL draft just happened. Josh is so bored because we're not talking about Chip and Joanna Gaines or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. I don't know.
Well, fortunately, he put in his 2-week notice. This is the end of the line. You only have to put up with it for 2 more weeks, JT. Just saying. There we go. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to the Knock On Nation Podcast Show.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit NakahomaNation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to Research Assistant Braves Options Guy and Spiritual Advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.